Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you don't mind, to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Titus. The New Testament book of Titus. We're going through a Sunday school series of truths every Christian needs to know. And there are certain truths that every single Christian needs to know. We talked about every Christian needs to know about the sufficiency of Scripture, that God has given His Word. We talked about every Christian needs to know about the birthmarks of the believer, how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. The Bible says we need to know that God hears and answers prayer. We can be led by God in His Spirit. We're thankful for these things that we can know from the Bible. In the light that we had a funeral yesterday, this is a perfect Sunday school lesson to follow that up. As we look into the book of Titus in chapter number 2. Titus is in the T section in the New Testament. Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. So five books right in a row with the letter T. The book of Titus. Titus and chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. And if you don't mind, Titus chapter 2. And notice with me in verse number 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, the Word of God says this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark that phrase that we find in the book of Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2, and notice with me in verse 13, the phrase, the blessed hope. The blessed hope. We understand that the coming of Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. Our blessed hope. Well, in the book of Titus, as it introduces this idea that we're looking unto Jesus and that it's our blessed hope, what it does is also give us something about past, the present, and future. If you don't mind, look at these things really quick as we just kind of lead into this. That in verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's in the past. In the past, Jesus Christ came on this earth. He died for us, died on the cross, and He died for all men. That's in the past tense. That was already taken care of. He'll never have to do that ever again. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't just live in the past, but you have a responsibility in this present world. Notice verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So in this present world, we're supposed to live or deny ungodliness. Meaning if we see something that's ungodly, we need to deny it. Stay away from it. Run away from it. We need to deny worldly lust. So we understand there are certain things that the world tries to entice us with. Don't give in. Say no. Say no. The Bible says that, but instead, how are we supposed to live? We should live soberly. The word soberly carries the idea of seriously. And there are some people who don't take life serious. They think it's a big joke. They just treat it like a waste of time. But the days that you have are very important. We need to treat every day seriously for the Lord, knowing that every day is important. It says that we should live righteously. Righteously is to do right. That in this present world, we should take it seriously. We should do what's right. Notice this, and godly. Do you know that you could live a good life and not be godly? You could live a moral life and not be godly. There's a lot of people who are very good people that have a hard time living godly because they're satisfied with being good. Remember that good is often the enemy of the best. And the best is the never-ending pursuit of Jesus Christ. That's why sometimes it's amazing to see someone who gets saved from a biker gang and from drugs, from alcohol, from homosexuality, from this and that. And all of a sudden they turn their life around. Why? Because their life was already horrible. And they couldn't live that same life. Moral people, when they start following the Lord, have a hard time feeling godly because they've already lived a good life and they don't feel like there's much that can change. They just added Jesus to it. But there's a difference between living a good moral life and living godly. And that's how we should live in this present world. So in the past, Jesus died for us, and he died for all men. As for us in the present, there is a way that we're supposed to live in this present world while we look towards the future, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That we know that Jesus Christ is coming again. That is our blessed hope. When Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to do some wonderful things. So if you don't mind, I'd like to take the Word of God, and I'd like to be encouragement to you from the Word of God, and I want to explain to you why is the second coming of Jesus Christ, why is it our blessed hope? Why is it our blessed hope? Well, the first thing I'd like to show you about the day that Jesus Christ comes back is that it's our blessed hope because it will be a day of rapture. A day of rapture. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible that the word rapture is used. That is something that we have come up with, but its meaning is found in the Bible. The word rapture means to be caught away, and that is used throughout the Bible. And so we're using a word that is a phrase that's found in there. But notice, if you don't mind, in 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse number 51, it says, "And I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we all be changed." The Bible explains in several different places that Jesus Christ is going to meet us up in the clouds, that Jesus is going to come in the clouds, and then we are all going to be called away at that moment. We're going to be raptured up. We're going to be taken up. The Bible talks about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, that it will happen in a twinkling of an eye. Scientists have actually tried to measure the twinkling of an eye, and they say that it's 1/1000th of a second. So just literally in a twinkling of an eye, 1/1000th of a second, we're going to be called away. We're going to be out of here. It's going to be a day of rapture. And that's what we're looking forward to. Jesus Christ taking us out of this awful, cruel, horrible, wicked world. That is why it is our blessed hope. It is the day that Jesus Christ is going to come back for us. He's going to bring us away. He's going to call us out. He's going to show up in the clouds, call us away. And so this is why the second coming of Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. Because first of all, it is a day of rapture. That when he comes back, he's going to call us away. If you don't mind, there's a second thing I'd like to explain to you about Jesus Christ being our blessed hope when Jesus Christ comes back. Not only is it a day of rapture, but the Bible also declares that it is a day of resurrection. The day of resurrection. We're still here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as we read it through where we were at. 1 Corinthians 15, notice with me in verse 51. "Behold, I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we should all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we should all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then we shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We know that this day that Jesus Christ comes back, that it's our blessed hope, because not only is it a day of rapture, we're going to be called away, but it is a day of resurrection. What do we mean by resurrection? Well, in that day, the mortal should put on immortality. The corruptible should put on incorruption. What does that mean? That carries the idea that right now, when we're living in the body, our body can sin, right? Even though you're saved, you can still sin. You could still have bad thoughts. You could still tell lies. But one day, we're going to get a brand new body that will no longer be able to sin against God. Are you looking forward to that day? I am. That's one of the main reasons why I'm looking forward to Jesus Christ. I am tired of sinning against my God. I'm tired of failing Him. I'm tired of messing up. I'm tired of failing my God. And that one day I'm going to get a brand new body. A body that will no longer sin against God. A body that will no longer grow old. A body that will no longer have arthritis or pain. A body that cannot fall apart. A body that won't have organs that need to be replaced. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day where I get my brand new body. It is a day of resurrection, a day I get a brand new body. So we're explaining why Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. It is a day of rapture. It's the day that Jesus Christ comes back for me and pulls me away. The Bible talks about that it's a day of rapture. This is why the Bible, by the way, says, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" You know, there are some people who will not see death. Jesus Christ is going to call them away. They're going to be raptured out before they die. Wouldn't you want to be one of those people? Not too many people want to go through the corridors of death. But some people will not see death. But some people who do die, notice what the Bible says. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? That if you do die and you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you will not stay dead. But you're going to get a brand new body. And the grave can't hold you down. The grave can't keep you in. That when Jesus Christ comes back, you're going to be called away. What a great day that will be. That's a day of rapture. A day of resurrection. The Bible also say it is also a day of redemption. It's a day of redemption. Look with me in the book of Romans chapter number 8. The book of Romans chapter number 8. We're going to get a brand new body. But it is a day of redemption. The day of redemption. The book of Romans chapter number 8. Notice with me in the book of Romans 8. And notice with me in verse number 18. The book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that is subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In the book of Romans chapter 8, it deals with the Holy Spirit's interaction with man. And that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit becomes a part of you. And you get another nature. And those two natures constantly fight against each other. And while you're on this earth, you are either going to give in to the flesh or give in to the spirit. How do you know which one's going to win when you come to a spiritual decision? The one that you feed the most. The one that's going to be stronger is going to win the tug of war, right? For example, we got someone big and strong like Josh. You big and strong? And Joshua. And we have on the other side of the rope, little Joshua. Who's going to win that tug of war? Big Joshua, probably. More than likely, maybe. And why? because Big Joshua is a little bit stronger because he's got like 10 years on him. He's stronger. He's going to be able to pull the rope and pull it. Well, the same thing, whichever one you feed the most is going to win. But the point is that you have a struggle going on between the spirit and the flesh. And it's always going on inside of you. You do things and you know you shouldn't do it. And then when you do it, you're so disappointed in yourself. You failed God. You messed up. That's the struggle we all have. But one day we're going to get a body that will no longer struggle. That flesh will be conquered. That sin will be delivered. At that time, we'll have a day of resurrection, a brand new body that can't sin against God. Why is the second coming of Jesus Christ our blessed hope? It's a day of rapture. He's going to call us away. It's a day of resurrection. It's a day that we're going to get our brand new body. We're going to be risen up. Death will not keep us. Some of us won't see death, but those who do die, they're not going to stay dead. It's a day of redemption, that the brand new body that we get cannot sin against God, will not fail God anymore. In addition, why is the second coming of Jesus Christ our blessed hope? The Bible says that it is a day of reunion. A day of reunion. Turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And notice with me, if you don't mind, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's pick it up in verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. So in the T sections, if you found Titus earlier, it's a couple books back. So 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. So the book of 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4. Some of those smaller books, it's in the middle of the Bible, hard to find sometimes. But I love the rustling of scriptures, people looking for it, looking for themselves. The book of 1 Thessalonians. So working backwards, Hebrew, Philemon, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. The book of, I missed Titus in there somewhere. Good. Notice with me, if you don't mind, the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 4. Notice with me in verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. As the Apostle Paul started churches all over the place, he always talked about the second coming of Jesus Christ because it is our blessed hope. And he would talk that Jesus Christ is coming back. This same Jesus who ascended up to heaven, that same Jesus is coming back. The very same one coming back literally, coming back physically. He would talk about it so much and so passionately that people were convinced that Jesus was coming back. That was until someone lost a loved one. Someone died. And so they asked the Apostle Paul, wrote him a letter and said, Apostle Paul, you keep talking about that Jesus Christ is going to come and take us away. He's going to rapture. He's going to call us away. But what happens to someone who dies before Jesus comes back? What happens to them? The Apostle Paul says, that's a great question. And the book of 1 Thessalonians is, in essence, a reply to that question. Notice again with me in verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, meaning I want you to know about this. I don't want you to be left in the dark about this. Concerning them which are asleep, remember the word asleep is a nice, kind Bible way of saying that someone has died, that they passed on. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. A funeral for someone who's accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior is much different than a funeral for someone who did not accept Jesus as their Savior. Back during the first Great Awakening, they said that the Wesleyan Revival, those people who came to know Jesus Christ under Charles Wesley, they said that their funerals like big parties and celebrations. Why? Because they were happy that they were with the Lord. They knew they were with Jesus, and they were excited. Hey, you know where so-and-so's at? They're with Jesus. Man, I wish I was with Jesus. They're with him right now. And they would throw big celebrations. People would be so confused. They're like, what's all the big party for? Oh, man, our friend died. Why are you having a party about that? I mean, shouldn't that be sad? Shouldn't they bear tears? No, he's with Jesus. They were excited about it. The type of funerals for people who know Jesus Christ as their Savior is much different. There may be tears because we miss them here, but it's not so long forever. It's see you in a little while. We have the hope of seeing them again. It's going to be a day of reunion. Notice with me, if you don't mind, as the Bible explains in verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So it's talking about the day of rapture. Guess what? When Jesus Christ comes and meets us in the clouds, he's not coming alone. He's got all those that passed on that are going to be with him in the clouds waiting for us. They're coming with him. Verse number 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So let me just tell you what the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Imagine that you're in a graveyard. You know Jesus Christ is coming. No one knows the day or the hour, but let's just say someone did. You know what? You could sit on their grave. Nope, they can't go. And that's not going to stop them. You could put them in a big cement lockbox and seal that thing, and that won't stop them from raising. You could bury them, you could burn them, you could destroy them, and that will not stop them. You could put them in a secret vault, you could put them in the bottom of the sea, you could put them in a volcano, and that will not stop them from coming back. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We're going to see our loved ones again. You should not prevent them. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Why? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall ever be with the Lord. It says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Someone says, why? Well, someone says, because they got it further to go. That they start rising and then we caught up with them. By the way, how long does it take? You tell me. Twinkling of an eye. 1/1000th of the second. That's pretty quick, right? No one's going to have time to like dive on top of a grave and say, no, you can't go. They're not going to have time. 1/1000th of the second, they're going to be gone. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall meet them together up in the air. We're going to be called away. We're going to be raptured, and we're going to meet them. And we're going to see our loved ones again. That if our loved ones accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will see them again. That's why the funerals for people who are Christians are much different. Have you ever been to a funeral where people don't know for sure that they're going to heaven? Those are some dark and horrible times. Those are hard ones to give hope to give encouragement to during those times, because it's awful. It's awful. And so we're thankful that ours are different. Why? Because we have hope. We have a confident expectation that Jesus Christ is coming back to do what he said he was going to do. And he is coming again. This is why the Bible says in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We can use these words of scripture to comfort someone whose loved one has passed away, saying, hey, if they've accepted Jesus and you've accepted Jesus, you have God's promise you'll see them again. Can you believe in God's promise? You know, that's some real hope that we could give some people. We don't have to just shrug our shoulders and say, I hope they're in heaven, or make a guess. We can say, according to the Bible, if they've accepted Jesus and you've accepted Jesus, you'll see them again. What great hope that gives us as believers. So we understand it is a day of rapture. It is a day of resurrection. It is a day of redemption. It is a day of rapture. But what else? Why else is the second coming of Jesus Christ? Why is it our blessed hope? Well, it is also a day of rejoicing. It is a day of rejoicing. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. The book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3. A very special verse to me. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3, God is walking through and talking about the last days. And he's explaining in verse number 3, while you're turning there, we're going to verse 9. But it says, knowing this first, that there should be in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. Do you know that there's some people who scoff at the Bible? There are some people who say the Bible's not true, that we're just believing in a fairy tale. Notice the three things that they scoff about, that they deny. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Notice what the first thing they say. I thought you said Jesus was coming back. You've been saying this for 2,000 years. Where is he at? He forgot about you. He's not coming. The people that deny Jesus Christ is coming back. Notice what else they deny. And saying, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Notice this. They are ignorant of creation. So they're ignorant of creation. Notice verse 15, or verse number 5. For this they are willingly ignorant of. That phrase, willingly ignorant, means stupid on purpose. Have you ever seen the idea of monkeys? Some of them holding their ears, some of them holding their eyes, you know. Nope, don't see anything. La, 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 la. They're willingly ignorant of. What are they willingly ignorant of? They were willingly ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the water standing, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then being overflowed with water perished. They're ignorant of the flood. So people who deny the Bible, they deny three things. They deny the creation. They deny the flood. And they deny the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what people are denying. People today, they scoff at the Bible, say it's not true. They deny those three things. But notice, if you don't mind, verse number 9, where we were running to. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us word, not willing that any shall perish, but all shall come to repentance. You know why the second coming of Jesus Christ is our blessed hope? Because it is a day of rejoicing. Why is it a day of rejoicing? Because God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. You know what that means? God's going to keep his word. God said he's coming back, and guess what he's going to do? He's going to come back. That when that happens, everything that Jesus promised is going to be delivered that day. We're looking forward to God's promises. We don't have them all yet. We're looking forward to when Jesus calls us away. We're looking forward to when Jesus gives us a brand new body. We're looking forward to when we spend forever with him. That's going to happen in the future. One day Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to do what he said he was going to do. And that's going to be a great day of rejoicing for us because God kept his promise. Have you ever been excited when someone kept their promise? Maybe parents promised you something and they didn't do it, and they didn't do it, they didn't do it. But eventually they gave it to you and you got it. It was great and wonderful. Wasn't that a good time to rejoice? When someone kept their promise and you didn't know if they were going to keep it, but they did, and it was, it was a good, especially when it was a promise that you needed. Thankful for that. Now, that bodes the question. Why doesn't Jesus come right now? Isn't that a good question? I mean, let's hurry up and get out of here. Why do we have to stay in this ugly world? Why? What is he waiting for? Well, verse 9, once again, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, word. Notice this, not willing that any should perish or go to that awful place called hell, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know why Jesus hasn't come back yet? because he still wants people saved. He wants people to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know what's going to happen? That the last person who's going to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior is going to bow their head. And the moment they bow their head and accept Christ, we're going to be raptured out of here. May I tell you a secret? I want to be the person to lead that last person to the Lord. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You're knocking on the door. Hello, yes, I'm from Riverview Baptist Church. I just want to be here to see if there's anything I can do to pray for you on. Well, that's wonderful. I could pray for that. Hey, by the way, can I ask you a quick spiritual question? Are you 100% sure if you die today, you go to heaven? No, you're not. Well, let me tell you, according to the Bible, you can know for sure. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. What if I could tell you it could take just a couple minutes of your time to open up the Bible and to show you from the Bible how you can know without a doubt you go to heaven? Can I do that? Well, absolutely. And take the Bible and show him what the Bible has to say. And he said that I'll ask him, are you now... Did what I showed you, was it biblical? Yes. Do you believe what I showed you was true? Yes. Do you believe what I showed you was simple? Well, with it being biblical, true, and simple, would you be willing to ask Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now? You would? That's wonderful. Let's go ahead. And the moment he bows his head, boom, we're out of there. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I want to be that guy. You know why God is waiting? He wants to see as many people saved as possible. Aren't you glad that he waited for you to get saved? He wants more people to get saved. So what if he's waiting for more people to get saved, what should we be doing? Getting more people to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's what Jesus is waiting for. He's waiting for us to go win as many as possible because of his goodness and his grace. We're talking about the Jesus Christ second coming. Why is it our blessed hope? It is our blessed hope because it is a day of rapture. He's going to call us away. It is our blessed hope because it is a day of resurrection. That for those who die before, they're going to get a brand new body. They're not going to stay dead. Why is the second coming of Jesus Christ our blessed hope? Because it is a day of redemption. It's a day where all of us will get a brand new body that will no longer sin against God anymore. Why is the second coming of Jesus Christ our blessed hope? Because it is a day of reunion. That if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and our loved ones accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, we're going to see them again. We're going to have a great reunion day with them. Why is the second coming of Jesus Christ our blessed hope? Because it is a day of rejoicing. It is a day where Jesus keeps his promise that he made all those years ago. And he's going to keep that promise that day when he comes back for us. That is why the second coming of Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. Oh, what a great day of hope that will be. That's something for every Christian to be able to rejoice on. That Jesus Christ is coming again. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.